In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, I was flipping through a Christmas time issue of, I think it was either People magazine or Us magazine. It was one of those very scholarly journals that we academic types really like to get to. But it had a feature asking these minor celebrities what they wanted for Christmas. And one of those minor celebrities, very minor celebrities, was Hulk Hogan's daughter, Brooke Hogan. I forget what she wanted for Christmas, but I do remember that she wanted it so badly that she said, and I quote, "I pray to Santa every night." She really said that. "I pray to Santa every night." So at first, I just kind of laughed the way that you did. And then I felt a little bit frustrated. And then I felt even more frustrated because I started feeling sort of hypocritical. Not because I pray to Santa, but because sometimes I pray as though God is Santa Claus. I've been good. Really. Please, let me just have this one thing. Please give me this. Or, I know that I messed up. I know that I'm on the naughty list. But please, please don't punish me. Please keep this bad thing from happening. I'll be a better person. I promise. And then I turn in my wish list. Right? Before I go on, I do want to make it clear that our conversations with God, which is to say our prayers, are never mocked by God. Never. Are never ignored. Nothing like that. Learning to pray is a lifelong process. And there are as many forms of prayer as there are kinds of people in this world. But the concluding sentences of today's gospel can be, and often are, misinterpreted and misused when we learn about and think about the ways in which we pray. "I will do whatever you ask in my name." If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Really? Whatever I ask? Anything that I ask? See, a lot of people have faced a lot of pain and frustration because of that misinterpretation and misuse. I keep asking and I get nothing. I keep praying and I am so tired of getting no answer. What am I doing wrong? How can I know the way? How can we know the way? And of course, Jesus answers, "I am the way. God is the way." He's talking to his disciples at the Last Supper here. He's giving them final instruction and encouragement before his arrest and his crucifixion. And just before this, just before today's gospel, he has told them to love one another. And that love is what reveals them to be his disciples. And he's told them that they aren't quite ready to go where he's going, but that he is getting them ready. And then he says, "You already know how to get there." And that's where Thomas says, "Huh? We don't even know where you're going. How could we possibly know the way?" Jesus' response basically says, when you get to know me, you're getting to know God. And when you get to know God, the way to God in this life and beyond starts to become clear to you. And as you become stronger and stronger in that knowledge and in that love, you will learn how to speak and ask in my name. And that's the part of these last sentences that deserve the focus, that deserve our attention, in my name, in God's name. What does it mean when you are speaking in someone else's name? What does it mean to say in the name of someone? It means that you've been called upon to be a representative, an ambassador, someone with the knowledge and the authority, in fact, someone that's been given the knowledge and the authority to speak on another person's behalf. It means that you are someone whose work is to represent the one whom you serve with the words that you are about to say. So our prayers are meant to reflect what we know about the love and the will of God. Now again, there are lots and lots of different kinds of prayers, and there are lots of prayers that are good and loving and necessary that we make on our own behalf and in our own names and for other people, for those whom we love, and these are not insignificant. They matter and they are heard. But Jesus is pointing out a way of knowing the difference, of knowing who God is and how God acts outside of our own spheres of concern. If you look at the section of prayers, of collects, in our Book of Common Prayer, it's like in the 800s or so pages, if you look at each one of those, you will notice not one of them calls for death, revenge, misfortune. Not one of them calls for a reversal of the natural order of things. But they all, in different ways, are asking for healing, new and different kinds of life, open hearts, and peace. They celebrate all of the different stages of life, and they remind us of our shared needs. And nearly every one of them is in the name of the Father, or in the name of Christ, or in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Blessed Trinity. Nearly every one of them is said on behalf of the God who loves us all. And the way that I began my sermon today, which is the way that I begin nearly all of my sermons, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that is a prayer. That is my prayer before I start saying anything, because that prayer is that my words will be God's words, not just mine. That something about God is revealed to you, not because of who I am, but because of who God is, because of the one on whose behalf I speak. So when we ask for anything in God's name, we're asking not for ourselves, but for God's fulfillment and God's purpose. And it means that we're beginning to know what God wants for us, not what we want for ourselves or even for other people. Jesus tells his disciples how very important, how very great, greater even than his own, their works will be as they continue to understand and deepen their knowledge of God's will, and as they spread the good news given in God's name. Their work, our work of teaching and healing, restoring to life, bringing hope and love to a world that so desperately needs these things. That, Jesus says, is the way of the disciples and the way of and to the kingdom of heaven. That is our way, too. Now, after explaining this a little more to his disciples and to us about this way and about this work, not too long after this gospel reading, what does Jesus do? He prays. Just a couple of chapters after this one, as part of this conversation that he is having with the disciples at the Last Supper, he finishes it up by prayer over and over in God's name for the ones that he loves and for the ones that he sends forth. And his prayer is not that they escape all harm, because, in fact, he acknowledges that in this world and with this message, it's nearly impossible to escape confusion and frustration and persecution. But what he prays is that they and that we are surrounded and lifted up by God's peace. Peace I leave with you. Surrounded and lifted up by God's Spirit and God's love. That this indwelling of God within them spreads that love throughout all times and all places, even ours. Especially ours. So what are we asking for? What are you asking for? I know that too often my prayers are sometimes more reflective of God as Santa Claus, as someone who gives gifts to me, just me, and not as reflective of God as the giver of good gifts to all creation. Where do I ask God to give his gifts today? And to whom? Is it possible through prayer in God's name that I can love my enemies, that I can accept misfortune, that I can become stronger in God's name? Can I celebrate the gifts that other people are receiving in God's name? Can I know the way and see that it is not an easy or predictable one and still long to follow it in God's name? I can. We can. We all can. Because ultimately, prayer changes us. Our conversations with God and our growing intentional knowledge of who God is. These things don't serve as a wish list with all of the items checked off. They don't serve as some kind of magic wand that instantly changes a situation. But our prayers in God's name change us. They change how we perceive the world around us and everyone in it. Prayer in God's name and for God's purposes as we grow to see them transform us and the way we live and move and have our being. It allows us to see the presence of God in all people and in all situations, even when it's the most difficult. And it allows us to appreciate the presence of God in all people and in all situations when it gives us the most joy. The hope is that through our prayers and through our transformation, as we start to see as God sees, we learn to see everything as gift. Through our prayers in God's name, we learn to see the way that has been prepared for us, the kingdom that is full of dwelling places, full of peace, full of God's presence and love. Amen.